Agricultural programming is made possible by Learned Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Learned Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at CGP Enterprises. He's in Mandeville, Louisiana. Channel Seeds' Matt Bennett from Windsor, Illinois, will be here to take a look at the cash grain market and discuss the market from a farmer's perspective. And then as we close out our half hour together, we'll take up the weather forecast, not for the United States, but for South America. Mike Tenora is very concerned about the prospects for planting there and what it might mean not for the current crop, the one that's going in the ground now, but for the second crop, in particular for corn. We'll discuss that as we close out this half hour together right here on Illinois Public Media. It comes to you from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. On this Thursday afternoon, futures in the corn pit were higher, up 4¾ cents at $3.52¼ for the day. The March at $3.65¼, up 4¾, and May corn at $3.74¼, 4¾ higher. July futures at $3.81½, 4¾ higher, and December up 4¼ cents at $3.97 on the afternoon. The soybean pit for the day finished higher as well, 14 cents. November up at $9.66½. January at $9.74¼, up 13¼, and the March at $9.81¾, 12 cents higher. May futures there at $9.90½, up 12, and July at $9.96¾, 11¼ higher. November of next year at $9.79¾, up 10½ cents for the day. Wheat futures in the soft red up 11 cents, in the December at $5.17, July at $5.42¾, 10½ cents higher. The Kansas July at $5.92, up 9 cents. Bean meal was up $7.30 for the day. Bean oil, 38 cents higher on the afternoon. Live cattle futures at $165.10, $2.15 higher. December at $165.30. That finished the day, $2.82½ higher. December lean hogs at $90.27½, down $1.65. And the feeder cattle for the afternoon in the October, $2.70 higher, $240.10. You, of course, are listening to Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
Checking the outside markets, crude oil futures trading the November at $82.66 a barrel, up 88 cents for the day. Heating oil or diesel fuel at $2.47¼, that's a penny and 2 cents higher. Gasoline on the RBOB at $2.20¼, that's $2.20¼. Currently trading 5¼ cents higher. Natural gas for the afternoon, 0.2 cents higher at $3.80¼. And ethanol futures are currently trading the nearby contract at $1.71¼. That's 7¼ cents higher. Dow Jones Industrial Average now at about 16,012 points, up 5 points for the day. The gold futures are down $3.75 or thereabouts at $1,241. And the U.S. dollar index at 85.055. is down 0.186 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Cloudy and a high of 62 degrees today. Mostly cloudy this evening, gradually clearing with a low of 48. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny skies and 67 degrees. Friday night, mostly cloudy and 45. Saturday, sunny and 55. Saturday night, clear and 36. That'll be the lowest low in the near term, at least. Sunday, mostly sunny and 57. Sunday night, cloudy and 44, mostly sunny on Monday and 62. Monday night, 44 degrees and partly cloudy. Tuesday, sunny skies and 59. Clear skies on Tuesday night and 41. And on Wednesday, sunny skies and 59. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report on this 16th day of October. It's a Thursday afternoon. Dan Zwicker at CGB Enterprises joins us to take a look at the commodity markets. Good afternoon to you, Dan.
Hi, Todd.
How'd you like the rally in the markets earlier in the week this week and again today?
Well, when we were on Commodity Week 2 weeks ago, I told you that oats knew, and it knew.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Well, for the week, I think the bulls are doing a pretty good job. For the week, December corn is up 18 cents. He's 34 cents off their contract low. November soybeans are up 44 cents for the week and off their contract low of 62 cents. Chicago soft red winter wheat is up 22 cents for the week and 51 cents off their contract low. So I would say that the bull is in the red zone and getting ready to score. So I'm looking for one more push on up to go on in for the touchdown.
Well, then that doesn't tell me that it would be a much higher push up.
I think November beans is going to take, it has $10 in its sights. I think it's sighted up for a run toward 10. It may not quite make 10. It might make, 997 or 998. But I think it's sighted up to take a run at 10. I think December corn posted went above the 50-day moving average here on Tuesday, slipped below it by a penny there yesterday, came back, now we closed above it, so we got two closes above the 50-day moving average. That is usually a key indicator, and I think these corn is sighted up now to take a solid run into the 360s, maybe even pop out 370. I think December wheat, if I can find my chart here, it looks like it's sighted up here to take a run toward the 530s. Maybe pop out the high that we had here first part of September around 542. So everything that I look at tells me that a seasonal low is in place, and now we're on the updraft of that seasonal cycle that should take us, into first part of November. And then maybe we could see some relaxation of that strength maybe as we get into November.
So I'm wondering, are we going to call you going to call corn a sideways to higher market? And is soybean the same thing, or are there other aspects of that marketplace that we need to be
aware
of?
Well, I think short term you got to call it, I guess you got to understand who you talk to. A day trader will tell you one thing, and a weekly trader will tell you another thing. But we've broke out of a 3-week price range on November beans. We broke out of a 4-week price range in December corn. We're making higher highs and higher lows. So I think you have to say that this trend that we've started here in late September, early October, at the moment is considered higher. Corn, I think, could be even in a little better shape than soybeans because I got a weekly buy signal on the weekly chart to go along with the daily buys that came about 3 weeks ago. So I got to be generally positive based upon price action. And I do understand we have a big crop out there. I'm not convinced USJ has got their arms around the acres yet. If they don't mess with acres anymore, then I think we're going to have a huge first quarter residual disappearance in corn. and soybeans. So we'll have to see what they do. But they're a little twinkering with the acres on the October report. I think they got a long ways to go when you compare that to the FSA data. Granted, that FSA acreage data is probably not complete, there's a lot of room there. There's a miss somewhere in there.
Right, we haven't talked about that on the air yet, but the FSA data came out earlier in the week again. I take it you've looked at it, but there's a discrepancy between the number of acres FSA says is available and the number of acres USDA has on the books.
Correct. And we do have to acknowledge the fact, I think, FSA told the county offices that they had maybe till December 15th to actually get those numbers in because they wanted them to spend time with farmers explaining the farm program. So the data might be coming in a little slower than what it normally does. I'm not too sure what the percentage is, if it's 70% complete or 60% complete or 80% complete. I don't know that. But I do know that
it's short, whatever it is.
Unusually wide discrepancy between the numbers that USDA is using on their balance sheets and what has officially been reported to the FSA offices.
And USDA made, I caught this last week in just the verbiage that was in their crop production report. Daryl Good and I were talking about it earlier in the week in his office because he had seen the same thing from those FSA numbers. And USDA, and we went back several crop production report years to see what their verbiage looked like. And this year it was clear that the one sentence they referred to for both the corn and soybean said with available data. So they're uncertain too that the data from FSA or other places that they gather is really complete on acreage. It'll be interesting to see how all that turns out, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I think they've missed the acres bad.
You think USDA is actually high?
I think their estimate that they did in June is a bad miss. And we'll see where it's at the end of the day. The problem is they can cover it up with an unexplained residual use, you know, on the quarterly report, just like they did last year. I mean, that first quarter disappearance is really not explainable, but it is what it is, and you go on with it. And I think that tells you that either their production number was probably too high, and I think it was too high because I don't think we had that many acres planted last year. So
this year it probably won't get fixed until January, I wouldn't think.
It could, yeah, very well. I would say that the January report is teed up for a big surprise.
Ooh, we haven't had one of those for a while.
We'll have to see what they do with acreage on the November report. We still have another monthly report yet for them to close that gap, or for that gap to kind of close, and then we'll have to wait. Otherwise, we'll have to wait till the January crop report, and then we could see some wild discrepancies come to the surface. But the market's acting awful good for as big a crop as we got, as big a yields has been reported. I got to be from... by weighting the technical side of the market heavier than I weight known fundamentals, I got to be friendly this market.
Based on the technicals. Okay, one other thing, and switch from corn to the soybeans, because they're having some difficulties in Brazil in particular. It's been awfully hot, awfully dry to get the start of their season, their sowing season, done. And we talk about this a bit later in the program. I already recorded Mike Tenora, so the whole weather segment is about this. But can you see that in the export market for soybeans at this point? Is there concern from the importers that they may have to turn more to the U.S. than they expected?
Well, I think we're going to find out tomorrow. We haven't heard anything from the USDA, you know, on any daily soybean announcements over the past couple of weeks. But I have a feeling most of that was waiting on bearish crop report there in October, waiting for lower prices. I mean, you can't believe how bearish the grain trade has been and still are. If you talk to any grain merchandisers or anything, I mean, they just are really, really terribly bearish. And I think the end user has been that way, waiting to buy stuff cheaper. And I think this one thing that's different about this October crop report is that the grain trade has been able to sell these crop reports and be in the money within a day or two after that crop report. This crop report, they are not in the money. So anybody that's sold into Friday's crop report is sending money to Chicago, and that's why I wanted to emphasize that we're up for the week and we're off our contract lows measurably, and that tells me that the bear is short and then some, and he's maybe out of horsepower at the moment to send this market lower, and therefore the bulls in here can kind of put him on the mat and have him either send money to Chicago or climb out of those short positions.
Dan, thanks so much.
Very well.
Dan Zwicker is with CGB Enterprises. He is in Mandeville, Louisiana, and joins us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Hey, take a moment right now and do what I hope will be a favor to yourself and your business. Call in at 800-898-1065. That's 800-898-1065 to purchase your Farm Assets Conference tickets. It's the 24th day of November, just $25. We'll have a cash grain panel discussion with Greg Johnson, Matt Bennett, Aaron Curtis, and Bill Mayer. Take a look at crop insurance and risk management with Gary Schnittke. Update land values with Bruce Sherrick and rental rates, too. He's the director of Center for Farmland Research here on campus. Discuss the soybean market with Pete Manhart, Bill Gentry, Ellen Dearden, and Dwayne Nelson. Evaluate the brand new farm bill and the programs and the things that you'll need to be signing up for in the next 6 months with Jonathan Kappas. He's our agricultural policy specialist. And discuss the corn market with Kurt Kimmel, Jackie Vakes, Dan Zwicker, and Mike Zuzlow. The program opens around 10:15 in the morning and runs till 5 in the evening. We see this as a signature event for Will Ag. The Farm Assets Conference is the 24th day of November. I know you think you might be farming then still. You won't be, and even if you are, $25 is not too much to spend to reserve your space right now today. Call 800-898-1065 or just do it online at willag.org. Coming up next, we dip into the backyard industry archives. Lisa Braltz ponders her one big gardening failure, garlic, and asks advice from a knowledgeable neighbor.
The best garlic I've ever had was bought from my friend Karen years ago at the farmer's market in Urbana, Illinois. I didn't grow up with garlic in the kitchen. I didn't really understand until I was in my 20s that it actually grew in the ground, that its native form wasn't powdered and in a jar, and that it is to be feted and not feared. Last fall, Karen gave me a wonderful gift, a brown paper bag loaded with garlic, which she no longer sold at the market but continued to grow in her home garden an hour north of town. I'd been thinking for years that I would plant my own someday, but I was intimidated. Garlic was, I heard, finicky, and here I was suddenly entrusted with these gorgeous cloves of garlic from Karen. I thought for a couple of seconds about just taking them home and roasting them with a chicken, but I went home and cleared a garden bed instead. I pulled the spent summer vegetable plants and worked in some compost, and on a sunny and cool October day, I planted single cloves of garlic in neat little rows, and then I waited. It was not a success. Many cloves didn't come up, and what did was weak and spindly. The wild garlic that had somehow found its way into another part of my yard was more robust. I was really bummed. I needed a garlic-growing pep talk before trying for 2014. I contacted Zach Grant, manager of the Sustainable Student Farm on the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign campus. He also happens to be my friend and neighbor and now personal garlic-growing cheerleader. He came by for a quick consultation. So, I asked after we sat down, did I plant it at the wrong time? Was mid to late October too early?
I see some growers, I think, getting, they might you might be seeing Facebook posts from like Collins at Prairie Earth or something, like garlic planting party, probably maybe like next week or the week after. But we generally don't get ours. We've had success getting in as late as like the first week of November and still getting really good yields and crops the following summer.
Nope, that wasn't it. But then...
The other crucial thing about planting garlic in the fall is that you need to make sure that you have a nice, really thick 3 to 4 inch layer of mulch over the top of the area that you're planting.
Bingo. Instead of mulching immediately, I procrastinated, and when I finally did mulch, it was just a paltry, half-hearted couple of inches of straw. The cloves got wet and cold and basically gave up the ghost. I felt guilty and not a little sad about all the pestos that would be made without homegrown garlic. Zach and I walked through the yard to make sure my chosen location for garlic wasn't also part of the problem.
So here we are. We're in my yard. Mm-hmm. And this is where, I know it doesn't look like this is where the garlic lived, but it was.
Uh-huh.
And then I planted some other things like for, you know, like later season lettuce and things like that. So should I not plant in this bed again? Is that...
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, maybe move it around. You mix it up a little bit. If you don't have... some of the disease problems that would affect the alien family, you could plant it again on the same year if you're limited with space. I mean, but you have a big enough garden where you can actually do some rotation in different spots.
Thanks to Zach, my friend Kathy, and the best cloves from the offspring of Karen's gift garlic, I have enough to try again for next year. One of these cool, clear days, I'll be pulling spent plants, working in compost, and planting. And you can bet I'll be mulching the ever-loving heck out of it right away. For Backyard Industry, this is Lisa Braltz.
Support for today's broadcast comes in part from the Friends of WILL and from Common Ground Food Co-op in downtown Urbana. With a deli featuring iced lattes made with fairly traded ingredients and local milk, and a salad bar filled with local and organic ingredients. More information is at commonground.coop.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's turn our attention to the cash grain market. On the phone line with us is Matt Bennett from Channel Seeds, and he is in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. How are you?
Good afternoon, Todd. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm fine. Have you been able to get back out in the field yet?
No, we may try tomorrow afternoon. Still a little bit soggy. I'm going to try... let the ground firm up just a little bit yet, maybe.
Tomorrow afternoon, maybe on Saturday, I suppose, too.
Yeah.
This delay, what's it meant for basis in the area where you live?
Well, for the most part, there's been a little fluctuation, a little bit of improvement here and there, but currently the elevator closest to home for me there in TGM, where I've worked at for several years, they're 40 under on corn, so... for the most part, the net gain really hasn't been much. So I think that the pipeline's full enough. Now on beans, there's probably been just a little bit more positive movement depending on which facility you're going into. So, it's pretty well where we're at.
Do you have TGM's cash prices in front of you at the moment?
Yeah, the cash price, again, at 40 under, it'd be 312. Now, there is 23 cents carry at 335, to Jan. And so, there's not near as much carry for the beans. It's only a 16 cent carry. But, even with commercial storage rates, a guy can pick up a little bit of money just storing at the elevator.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. We're talking with Matt Bennett.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Okay, Matt, let's continue our conversation just a little bit here. So if you look at this in a broader perspective now, you've got a big crop coming, and it's going to come fairly quickly with the drying out of land across the Corn Belt. Does it really push the market again, or have we bottomed, do you think, for the harvest season?
That's a great question, but I think the action here, as we get closer to the period in which guys are going to get back into the field, has shown us that maybe there's a little bit more at play here than just simply weather, whether we're talking dollar fluctuations or weather in South America. There's a lot of things we could talk about, but bottom line, I think once harvesting gets rolling everywhere again, we're bound to have some weakness. Whether basis is going to do much at this point remains to be seen, but there is going to be a glut coming into the elevators here in the next 10 days, and so I would expect that we will see a fair amount of harvest pressure for that time period, but whether we make new lows or not remains to be seen. It's a tough call.
Tough call, but does this give you pause to think about higher prices later in the year, into 2015 even?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, with the corn especially, I'm probably a little bit more friendly as we move on out farther. I think that even with the higher yield, you know, and keeping the carryout close to 2 billion, it shows us that we're not going to be able to drop acreage substantially next year, although that's what really a lot of things are leading us to believe is going to happen at this point. And so, you know, we would be very subject to a weather issue next year if we only end up with, you know, 86 million acres or less. And so, you know, I think moving forward, I'm going to be a little bit more friendly to the corn than the beans anyway.
Thank you so much, Matt.
Thanks, Don.
Matt Bennett, of course, was TGM. He is out of Windsor, Illinois. We'll have the weather forecast here in just a moment. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Thursday afternoon. Mike Tenora from T-Storm Weather is here to take up the weather forecast, not for this nation, but for South America, where they have been suffering some real heat and dryness. Mike, is it creating a problem?
Well, we are actually seeing some planting delays now across parts of Brazil, especially across the interior areas of Brazil, which include some of the key first crop corn and soybean areas. The real issue that's taking place right now in Brazil is that we're in a transitional period between the dry season and the quasi-monsoon season. In September, areas of interior Brazil average around 2 inches of rain for the month. To put that in perspective, that would be about the same amount of precipitation Illinois would see in December or January. So we're talking about a fairly dry month in central Brazil. As we move forward in Brazil and we move into December, that's when things turn a little bit more interesting in that area, because we start to see very heavy rainfall. Average rainfall is between 9 and 11 inches per month, so 400 to 500% wetter in December than in September across center, west, and southeast Brazil, again, where the key corn and soybean region is, or at least one of the two major regions. The issue that's taking place right now is that we have not seen very significant rainfall over the last several days and several weeks. And in fact, they're in the middle of a fairly severe heat wave. Parts of center west Brazil had highs of 107 degrees yesterday, which is very hot for them at this time of the year. That type of heat is not totally uncommon, though, because in the middle of their winter, which is the middle of our summer, so let's say June and July, they can easily top 100 degrees. The big difference between their climate and our climate is that their temperatures are generally warm throughout the year, so they do not have a cold season, but they do have a distinct dry season and that distinct rainy season. October, again, is a transitional period between that dry season and that rainy season. So what's happening now is not completely unusual, and then it's not raining. All that really is telling you that the monsoon season is just going to start a little bit later than usual. That does become a bit of a problem for corn and soybeans, because planting typically begins in October and then continues on through November. If you don't get all of that early corn and soybean crop planted at this time of the year, that can become a problem later on, because remember, a lot of this region also plants a second crop, most of that having gone to corn in recent years. If we end up having a late start to planting, which we are starting to see right now, and then we have a late harvest for some reason in January or February, which would primarily be likely due to heavy rainfall at that time of the year that would prevent them from getting into their fields, then that second crop ends up being planted late. So that's really what we're going to have to keep an eye on. There is not much rain coming up over the next 7 days. We will see hot and dry weather across these areas through Sunday. Then a few thunderstorms move across center west and southeast Brazil over the first half of next week as a weak cool front shifts on to the north. After that, it's a little bit tricky to say what's going to happen, but we do know that there'll be a few more thunderstorms, simply from a climatological standpoint, because it does turn so much wetter as we move forward. You just have to keep on increasing your rain chances with time. But the problem is that we see this upper-level high that's there right now, that still lingers nearby for a large portion of next week. And until that high moves a substantial amount, we don't see a whole lot of rain happening there. And the longer this lasts, the more delayed planting will be, and the more this will become a second crop issue later on in the year and into the first half of next year.
That's T-Storm Weather's Mike Tenora. I'm Todd Gleason.